I remember the first time I heard the trailer for that movie, and it was a completely different voice. And then I went into the movie itself, and they had dubbed over again and changed his voice into what we ended up with, which was just, I want some Cheetos.
Is that like how Shrek had a completely different voice? Like it was like Chris Farley or something, and then he passed away. I think it was.
I didn't know about that at all.
Mike Myers went in and like played it straight, and that went in with a Scottish. Like it's
I have to question this Chris Farley thing because I think the death of Chris Farley versus when Shrek comes out is
Ben, I hate to tell you, Ben, I'm very sorry to tell you this, but and Shrek came out a long time ago.
But Chris Farley died longer in like high school. When did Shrek come out?
God, the first one was like 2003?
Oh.
Oh, God.
Farley was originally cast as the voice of the title character in the animated film Shrek in 2001, folks.
Oof. Jeez.
He recorded 85 to 95% of Shrek before passing away.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait. Why don't they just release the Farley cut then?
Folks, this is now just a Shrek podcast.
Shrek cast.
That's it.
But like a Shrek conspiracy podcast, like someone's holding the tapes.
Hey, if they can make the Schneider cut come out, I think we can get the Farley cut.
The Farley
and
cut.
And it's almost certain to be better.
I bet it's great.
Have you ever tried to watch the Schneider cut?
Oh.
There's some Chris Farley as Batman.
Oh, I was gonna say like Chris Farley as Shrek would be amazing. Like I'm not talking about Zack Snyder.
I live in a cave down by the river. No, nothing. All right, sorry about that. You, dear listener, might be hearing three voices instead of the usual two and a half. But tonight we have a guest with us. We have Kyle DeBolt from the Good Enough Gaming podcast. I want to say friend at this point.
Yeah, friend of the pod.
Arr. Don't give away the cow yet.
We're still selling milk.
We're still milking it.
I was not informed there would be milking.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to make some sort of joke, but there's only one place to go with that, and I'm not doing it.
No, we're utterly stumped.
Ah, there we go. There's the first dad joke. Let's start a tally of dad jokes.
That's not a dad joke.
Puns, like silly references.
All right, Jess, give us a ding each time you deem something to be a dad joke this episode, please. And then give us our tally at the very end, if you don't mind, one of your famous Jess interjections.
Interjections. Oh, that sounds like indigestion.
Does that count as a dad joke? Is a bad portmanteau a dad joke?
We're going to let Jess decide on that one.
Yeah, Jess the judge. Kyle, thanks for joining us, although I guess you're probably regretting it at this point.
Not at all. It's weird to be a guest instead of a host. It's kind of refreshing.
Have you ever guested on a different show?
No.
Ooh.
No, wild.
Actually. I think I did a guest spot on Detentions and Dragons.
Oh, cool. Ooh. I haven't heard of that one.
I have a friend who's an educator in Minnesota. Who also uses D&D and like D&D type mechanics in the classroom.
Awesome.
Shout out to Josh.
Do you guys ever hang out with people that aren't educators?
Just you, Ben.
Y'all just teachers, just gang up.
Yeah, we just sit around and talk about how tired we are.
I mean, I met him through like teacher Twitter, so.
Oh God, that sounds interesting.
It's very interesting talking to like American teachers as a Canadian. Ooh. You're like, damn, you guys got it even worse.
Yeah. At least we're not staring down the barrel of a gat every...
A gat or a gat?
What? I don't know. Gat. My son says kiat instead of cat.
Kiat? Yeah. Where's the kiat?
He knows that they're called cats. Like that. He has made a choice to pronounce them kiat.
That's why I support him. That's great. I still think about my favorite one of your sayings that your son has said, and I use it constantly, is my body is telling me I need a sweet treat. I say that to John constantly when I'm like, should we have blizzards? Because my body's telling me that we need a sweet treat.
See, every time you bring up a blizzard, I end up door dashing shit after we're done recording.
Yeah, you do. They have birthday cake dipped cones now.
What, was this you flipping the blizzard?
This is just milking.
Because it looked like we were milking a cow.
No, it's dipping the cone.
Milking the cow.
Dipping the cone. Full circle. Anyway.
Have you ever milked a cow, Lex?
Yes.
Okay. Kyle?
I feel like yes. It's like a Butterfield Acres throwback kind of.
Yeah. Okay. We've all gone on that field trip. I've had to milk goats as part of a summer's working on a farm.
Goats are a little more skittish, a little more kicky.
They were fine. They seem to be enjoying it.
Now, were you goated status of milking?
Yeah. No, I think I wasn't very good at it.
Another ding. It's because there was a goat.
I know. Sorry, I don't know how to keep going when one of those happens. It's too obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, we wanted to talk about puppies. Apparently, Kyle, you have something to tell everyone.
So we got a puppy a week ago.
Congratulations.
Part puppy, part velociraptor. He is 3 months old. He's cute as shit, but also very chompy right now.
Yeah.
They're biting.
So is this a rescue?
Yeah, it's a rescue from Arcs. Shout out to Arcs.
Oh, that's what I've been looking at. I am jealous. I'm trying to talk my partner into a puppy, and she's like, no, I want a dog that's at least 6-7 months old and already knows how to poop outside.
I can, as a dog owner for a week, I can recommend six
months.
Do
you feel like you would be missing that little puppy stage, though? Like you?
No.
No?
No, because they're super cute, and then they bite you, and you're like, oh, you're not cute anymore.
I don't know. I mean, my cat bites me, and I still think it's cute.
Your cat scares me a little bit. Like, I have this, like, friendly understanding
of,
like...
Has my cat ever hurt you?
There's been a threat. We have a friendly understanding, Ben. He hisses. I say good morning. We stay away. He comes up to me, and I'm like, hello, how are you, sir?
It's a respectful nod in the morning, just...
Yes. I greet him as is custom. He warns me of what spots I'm not allowed in, and I'm like, hey, cool.
It. Every spot. Yeah. They're all his.
I think I was eating once, and he like came up and just stared at me, and I was like, should I move?
No. Stand your ground, Lex.
He big.
Well, that's good to know. I like puppy advice. 6-7 months. That's the happy medium. Hey.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a transition. That's for sure. From no puppy to.
Did you want the puppy, or was this something that you relented to?
This was more on the side of like my wife really, really, really wanting a puppy. And
that's nice. Just throw her under the bus there.
Oh, you set me up for that shit.
It's a good thing. I'm almost willing to guarantee your wife will not listen to this.
I mean, she doesn't listen to our podcast, so it's fine.
Yeah, so she's not following you over to another person's podcast.
No.
You're safe. You're good.
It was sort of like a conversation. Or if she had her way, we would have had a dog years ago. But, you know, small children and the ever busy teaching season. And it eventually got to a point where it's like, okay, like we can do this, but I just need to wait till basketball season's done because coaching is absurd.
Can you bring the dog to the court?
No, this is not an Air Bud situation.
Could it be, is what I'm asking. You haven't put the effort in yet. I don't feel like you say it's not.
Have you put a jersey on the dog just to see what magically happens?
Have you thrown a basketball?
I do have some small size basketballs at home. He has no interest in them though. So
no, starting on regulation.
Yeah, you obviously. Don't
overwhelm the dog. How many Air Bud movies are there?
Too many.
I think there's like five.
I think there's more than five.
I mean, he also goes across sports too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
He plays hockey.
There's a football one too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Polo Bud. Water polo Bud.
Water polo. I was saying, is there a golf one? Because I can just see him wearing like little like loafers.
There's so at some point it stops being Bud and starts being like the Buddies, which are like the subsequent puppies.
Yes.
The Air Buddies, the,
like,
if you will.
Beethoven.
Yeah, like the Beethovens, the pluralized.
That reminds me, my kids watch a show called Pup Academy, which like uses, I don't know like what sort of CGI, but like to make the puppies mouths move like they're talking.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's pretty insufferable, but it's better than Paw Patrol.
Everything's better than Paw Patrol, Kyle. Everything is better than Paw Patrol. I would take Peppa the Pig at this point.
You're in the thick of it right now.
Actually, that's not true.
We have gone down a road we shan't be coming back from.
No, I take that back. I would still prefer Paw Patrol over Peppa the Pig.
Peppa and Caillou
is an auditory nightmare. I have thankfully never had to experience Caillou.
That is 100% no go.
Except as an older brother. Yeah. That little dude can kick rocks. Paw Patrol, you know, they're on a roll.
just here. I can't even as a producer put the Paw Patrol theme song in here because it's just such a goddamn earworm. None of us will ever stop hearing it. So just like imagine it here. I refuse to put it in. Sorry.
No, nobody.
Oh, I,
no. Nobody likes, wants to keep going. This is the kind of energy we want to bring into this show. So let's do the theme song already. Let's just go for it. Welcome back to the show. This is Dork Matters, a dorky podcast for dorks. I'm your adorkable host, Ben Rankle. And with me, as always, Lexi Hunt, your Ed-dorkator. And we have a second Ed-dorkator with us tonight. We have Kyle DeBolt from Good Enough Gaming Podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us, Kyle.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on the other end of a guest spot.
It's relatively the same. You're still at your computer in your home office and talking to a screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, checks out.
Here among your trappings and your belongings, you belong.
I belong. Thank you.
Name that tune.
Here among my trappings and belongings, I belong.
Ooh. I'm going to drop song references all episode. That's what I'm doing.
Is that what we're... Okay.
That's from Prince of Egypt. It's a song by, I think, Val Kilmer voiced Moses in that.
No, it's a little...
That's when he's first confronted.
Little too much Bible for me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, it's a spiritual backbone of many religions. As the opening crawl, I remember saying at the beginning of that film. It's a beautifully animated film, though. We're not here to talk about Egypt, though.
No.
Or the Bible.
No.
We're here to talk about pirates.
Yar. Yar.
Yar. You know that song? You've heard of Lazy Town before, right?
You are a pirate.
Yar, har, diddly dee. A pirate. Ben, what?
No, I've never heard this. I'm sorry.
Oh, you have. Okay, so I'm going to find it right now. I'm going to put it here in the chat because you need to hear it.
That's
literally no,
that's
part
like
of this sounds familiar
you
to me.
You are a
pirate. Yeah.
Like
YouTube
early
memes.
Early yes, internet. Yes.
Well, I might have missed it. I was too busy with the LOL cats, I guess.
No, you 100% have heard this before.
Can't make that true.
I'm putting it in the chat.
If she says it enough times,
you've heard this.
It becomes true.
All right, you know what?
It's in the chat. Listen to it right
now.
I'm
going to listen to it. Jess, this would be a great place, I guess, to pop in this song for us, if you don't mind.
I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on what Lazy Town was, because it was a great TV show. Have you ever heard of it before, Ben?
I actually haven't.
No. Okay. Kyle, you've heard of
it. Oh, wait. This looks familiar now.
Yes, of course it is. Yar, har, did.
No, the show looks familiar. I still haven't heard this song.
I think it's impossible. Lazy Town was a great TV show. It was in 2004. It was about this girl who goes to live with a family member, and all the puppet inhabitants of this town are lazy as shit. They're like fat little lumpkins. They don't like doing anything. And so she and her uncle...
Jesus, they're terrifying.
They're terrifying, but catchy. And it was so lovely because it was just about like being a better person and helping the townspeople not be like lazy assholes. And then there was this villain, Stefan Carl Stefanson.
I can't keep listening to this. I need you to know
but
that.
But it's catchy. It's catchy, isn't it?
No.
It's going to be stuck in your head.
Not so
you
far.
You are a pirate. Yar, har, diddly, dee, 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 dee.
I am trying to understand who put these puppets on screen.
I think it's a Norwegian. Ooh. Oh, no, it's Icelandic.
Is it Norwegian? Because I was going to ask if it's Canadian.
No, it's Icelandic.
Okay. Well, that explains something, I guess. I'm not sure what it explains.
Yeah, what does it explain?
Iceland's hardly a country. I don't know what it explains.
How dare you? That is, that's a big punch.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to hurt the feelings. They don't even get podcasts there. It's too cold.
Wow.
They can't get you it over are, the Arctic
you're
Ocean.
You're swinging for a whole country of people that did nothing to you. They made a delightful TV show.
A country of like 20,000 people.
That made a delightful TV show about being a better human. I'm sorry, that's not Paw Patrol.
Yeah, I didn't say I like Paw Patrol.
Iceland, they did bully the Mighty Ducks pretty bad, so I'm kind of...
Yeah, that's my reference for them.
Don't take quack. His side.
Quack, quack, quack. It's knuckle puck time.
Anyway, it's a very iconic pirate song.
Does it go off the rails this much usually?
Okay. If we had rails, people might actually listen to our show.
Hey, that makes two of us.
This is for funsies. Yeah. Just for funsies.
We've talked about our metric for success, and we will stop at nothing short of world domination. We've got a while to go.
I don't know. Award nominated. So
yeah, that's the weird part, right? Who's listening that nominated us for awards?
We appreciate it.
Thank you, dedicated listener. Award season is coming up again. So if you feel like doing that, go for it. We will
do us another solid.
We'll try to bring up.
Hey, and thank you. Have we thanked Avenue Magazine yet?
I was going to say.
No, I think this is our first recording since we got that shout out from local business / culture magazine Avenue. Calgary.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
We appreciate that shout out. Maybe you will hear this.
Yeah.
At the very worst, we will link a thank you in our show notes.
We love you.
How the hell did we get here? We're at 16 minutes and we need to get into pirates.
Pirates.
Pirates. I mean, we had you guys on the Good Enough Gaming podcast, and Ben and I got on a pirate tangent where we became internet best friends to the point where in preparation for tonight's episode, I sent you both a Spotify playlist of sea shanties.
Pirate songs, yes.
Sea Shanties That Drop My Panties is the title of the playlist. Yeah,
I was initially offended by the title, so I never got a chance to listen to it. I was too hurt. I actually don't have Spotify. I'm the only person on the planet without it. So I don't know how to listen to Spotify.
You download it and then you listen to it.
Sometimes I tell people I've listened to it, but it's not true.
No.
I'm not even sure what it is. Is it like some sort of culture podcast or something?
Oh, Ben.
No, I'm fucking around with you.
Of course.
Our show is distributed on Spotify. I know what it is.
I know it is. But what is it you both love about pirates?
You think I'm so stupid.
Stop. We're going off the rails. No. What do you like about pirates?
Kyle, please, as our guest, what do you love about pirates?
Of course. Yeah, I'll lead right in. I think just the Hollywood version of pirates really, I mean, between like, for me personally, Muppet Treasure Island and Pirates of the Caribbean, those two by themselves really sort of gave this life of like whimsy and adventure and, you know, sword play and swashbuckling and, you know, Jack Sparrow doing super weird shit and somehow getting out of these ridiculous situations. And so I just, you know, envision that for myself.
Hmm. Is your first sort of experience with like love of pirates from Muppet Treasure Island or earlier?
I think that's my first memory of like pirate based stuff. Nice. I was a fairly voracious reader when I was a kid. So, you know, obviously my parents and people tried to throw classics at me.
He's referring to books for the Gen Zers out there. Is that a good joke?
Yeah, so I read Treasure Island. I, you know, got most of the way through it and got kind of bored, but I also have attention issues. but seeing like movie adaptations of it between that and Hook, for instance, was another was another childhood.
Yeah, I think Peter Pan and Hook definitely falls into the pirate category.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Pirate flick. Yeah, Hook is largely feels like a pirate film, doesn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. That
I feel
what
like
about that. The Goonies? Because there's like a little bit of a pirate element to it too.
Ooh.
Right?
Now you're bringing up the classics.
Goonies doesn't feel like a pirate film to me. It feels like it has a pirate bit to it, but it's not a pirate film. It's an adventure film.
It's like a little lens. It's a little lens of like the reason they were doing is because they were trying to get to the pirate treasure, but it wasn't.
That's
the
true.
Meme.
They are trying to find treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have the pirate map.
Yeah, they're searching for treasure.
The little treasure map that they find.
Yeah.
And they wind up going down there and they find the boat and they find the skeletons.
I've got to be honest, I was never much of a Goonie person. I didn't really like the movie as a kid.
What? Explain yourself. How?
I found it kind of unsettling and upsetting.
Yeah, I could see that. That's fair.
It was kind of too scary for me, my sensitive little boy mind. And yet I love Never Ending Story, which is possibly the least chill thing that ever got put on a screen when we were kids.
Ooh. Dark Cauldron.
Oh. Dark Cauldron. I did not see until I was much older. I was not allowed to watch things with black magic, Kyle.
Ugh, I saw that too young, and I think it was a little...
Forever scarred.
Because otherwise the devil might come out of the TV and steal my soul.
Mm.
The animated Hobbit movie? Lord of the Rings movie? No.
That thing is an acid trip more than it's scary. Oh, like
it was so upsetting. Like, what's happening?
The rotoscoping and the weirdness, and it's just like, I don't understand what's happening.
It's too much.
It is too much.
It made me feel very unwell. Anyway.
What was your first pirate experience, Lex?
I'd say probably Hook as well, and then Muppet Treasure Island, but also at West Edmonton Mall, there was the pirate ship.
They had the pirate ship and the submarine that went around the pirate ship, and they had dolphins, and let's not think about how sad that is.
And flamingos and all sorts of creatures, and I think that was the first time I was like, oh shit, they're real. But I think that was probably... That was it.
The golden... Yeah, flamingos are real. I know.
I thought they're only in...
unreal. Because they're pink.
Birds aren't real.
Nobody could believe a pink bird until you see one in person.
Especially when you see it on Alice in Wonderland and they're using them to hit croquet balls and you're like, that's not a real thing.
As a croquet mallet.
Wait a second, they're real?
You can't do that to a bird. Also, those flamingos are drunk. Very, very drunk. I don't know how else you describe that was flamingos. They're unsettling too, if you want to get into it. Flamingos, not real.
The whole movie is very, but yeah, that was it for me.
Yeah. The pirate ship at West Ed was something that I experienced very early on as a, Edmontonian by birth. And,
I'm sorry.
You know what? Edmonton's a great city. I really like it. I think it's beautiful. It's got its charms, and I think it's time for us to move past this rivalry between two cities 300 kilometers apart. It's time to grow up. Yeah,
let's hate the real villain.
It's time to grow up.
Iceland, apparently.
Much like the Lost Boys.
Iceland should have known better than to try to step up.
Against the Mighty Ducks. Yeah, anyway.
In hockey. If anybody should have been the enemy, it should have been Canada. An actually good... junior hockey team.
We have so many Icelandic hockey players, though.
Now, and that's only because of Mighty Ducks. They felt like they had something to prove.
Oh, Ben.
After all that shade.
Yeah, I mean, Canada would have been a better choice, but maybe there was some, like, tensions across the border.
I wonder if Disney felt weird about, like, possibly alienating Canadian viewers by making us a villain.
But they were, like, fine with Iceland. Whatever, there's 20,000 of them. Who cares? Says Disney.
If I have to choose between Iceland and Greenland, I will choose Greenland every time.
Why? No, you won't.
Yeah. No, I actually like Greenland much better.
Talk about pirates, Ben. What else do we have on the list for pirates?
I want to get into pirates, but I just need to say about Greenland for a second.
Yeah.
One, we share a border with them as of 2020, when a border dispute was settled. And so that makes them actually officially a land part of North America as well, which is fascinating. They are also in the process of moving away from their, which kingdom are they? Denmark, I believe it is. They're connected to one of the Scandinavian countries officially, but Greenland is in the process of moving away, and they're a very indigenous-led political culture, and they're severing ties from sort of the European imperialism that had taken over the country. So it's really cool. It's a fascinating place.
And I've heard that, like, Greenland is actually covered in ice, and Iceland is actually green.
You're literally just quoting Mighty Ducks now.
I'm glad you caught that.
I know the scene that you're talking about. It's great. That guy had drip too. Him and the evil lady Iceland. Like, there was a lot going on there.
I'm just impressed that I haven't seen that movie since I was 10, 12 maybe. And I had that line all queued up since you started going to Greenland. So
yeah, absolutely. We had to get there. man, we should do a Mighty Ducks episode.
I think we kind of are.
Because they come back and do...
This is no more pirates. We're just talking about Ducks.
We will get off. So this is connected because a lot of people, pirates, would have had to sail past Iceland at some point.
I don't know that it'd go that far north.
The world is a globe, it turns out.
The world's round, people. Here, okay.
All right, let's get into this. My first pirate experience is a little movie called Shipwrecked. From Dizzy in the, I think it's late 80s, early 90s with Hawkinson. And it's this great, great little adventure flick where this little Scandinavian dude gets taken onto a ship and has to, like, fight to save his treasure.
I thought you didn't like them.
I mean, I don't hate all of Scandinavia.
A Norwegian boy named Håkon Håkonsson.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Yeah, it's a great film. It's one of my first, and it inspired my love of adventure and trying to get on a ship, which I still haven't done. I would like to point out, I do have a boating license.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can pilot a craft.
Look at that. That's really cool.
I've never done it, but I'm allowed to.
My only sailing experience was a grade 9 sailing trip.
You got to do that.
The West Coast.
It got canceled on us. What was it called? Salts?
Yeah. One of those two, Salts or Sea or something. Mine was this close to being canceled because of teachers' strikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Fucking teachers in their working conditions.
Ours was canceled because somebody in the system drowned the year before.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly. So they decided that wasn't going to be okay.
Yeah, it was quite sad.
If I'm being honest, I wouldn't have been able to afford it anyhow. So that probably saved me face of trying to ask my parents to pay for a $2,000 trip to go boat school.
For a week, yeah.
I remember doing a shitload of fundraising.
Yeah.
We did. I went on the band trip to Seattle and we did many a pop bottle drive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back when pop bottles could still buy things. They've been devalued.
Yeah. What was that?
But because of the unfortunate incidents, were you banned from going near the ocean?
No, this was before that sad thing had happened. And I was in grade 9, actually. And I remember in today's current day and age, this would never have been okay because they dropped us off and they were like, teams of 4. We were at Pike's Place Market and they were like, okay, be back here in 3 hours. See ya. And we just were allowed to go.
There's a lot
there. And I remember
there.
Being like,
that's a lot.
They were like, don't go on a boat. And we were like, cool. And we just went as 14 and 15 year old Canadians. We just ran amok amongst the fish mongers throwing the fishes and the Seattle people. It was not something that would be okay.
Notoriously dangerous Seattleites.
I was going to say, in your current position, could you imagine having to deal with that?
No. I'd be like, are you insane?
No.
I barely trust them.
I think the only option is to let them go free range.
I mean, they do it on their own, Ben, and we have a lot of problems.
If you can't control them, then you have to free them.
And then we have to deal
them.
With the aftermath. Yeah. Hey, if anything, I do know a lot of kids that, if anything, we should be warning the people of Seattle before we unleash them.
Yeah. I remember what my graduating class was like. It was a bunch of pirates. We acted unlike buccaneers.
Good job. Ah, nice.
On the ocean. Job, back on track.
Freebooters, corsairs.
Corsairs. What are some other great terms for pirates, Kyle?
The only other one was privateers were sort of parallel to.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that because a lot of pirates actually were just straight up privateers, except a different government would call them pirates because they were being sent out by their government to go raid everybody else.
Yeah, it was government funded piracy.
Yeah, there were obviously certain pirate groups or people that had been employed previously as pirateers that then went solo or rogue in order to take on some booty, if you will.
Sir Francis Drake would be one of the more notable ones who actually,
Uncharted.
Yeah, I was going to say, appears, a main namesake in Uncharted. But, when privateering goes a certain direction and you just get pressure from your crew and then you shift to full-on piracy anyways. And I mean, it didn't last super long for him, but I mean, Francis Drake was one of the more notable pirates. And it's nice that he's still referenced in sort of newer age media and sort of keeping that sort of mythical memory alive of, what pirate was versus what they actually were.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely mythic, and we need to get into that because basically I want to talk about a general history of robberies and murders. First, quickly, though, I was thinking about this today, and the entire Uncharted series feels like a pirate series to me, even though there's only that one game that really leans into it pretty hard. But I think it's the connection to Nathan Drake and the robbing of artifacts. It gives it a piratey movie vibe to me, an adventure vibe.
Absolutely, and I think Uncharted is sort of what, I mean, an Indiana Jones game should be without, the colonial stealing of artifacts and placing in museums and stuff. But that's for another day. But the Uncharted as a whole definitely felt like a bit of a treasure hunt, right? Like you hear about this mythical treasure that's been.
God, I love that series.
It's so good, and it's so well done as far as storytelling and, you know, sort of building this narrative. But I choose to ignore the movie for that very reason.
I have not watched it, and I won't.
You're not missing much.
I won't do it.
Don't do it.
I like Tom Holland, but he was not the choice for Nathan Drake. What are you doing?
Nor was Mark Wahlberg for Sully.
For Sully Sullivan, come on.
Wahlberg is rarely the right choice.
Yeah, said everyone in real life and working on films. But yeah, to get back to what you were saying, sort of the idea that like mythical sort of our common knowledge nowadays is we largely have based our sort of idea of this mythical golden age of pirates on this one sort of book, which is known as A General History of Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates, spelt with a Y, which is credited to a Captain Charles Johnson, which is very much agreed to be a pseudonym for some other modern writer at the time. But basically, this is a very embellished and liberty-taken piece of work that deals with real pirate names and then basically just goes ham on all their crimes and evils that they've done and sort of the way they operated. As we talked about already, a lot of them worked for certain governments, kingdoms around the world. Their privateer work made them pirates for other people, but they also very rarely actually attacked merchant ships. So what they would do instead was get close enough and run up. Initially, what they would do is run up a black flag before the Jolly Roger even became a thing. And that would let, you know, the people on the other side know that, like, we won't kill you. Give us your stuff. And then if... very, very, very rarely did it go beyond that to where they throw up the red flag, which is like, we're going to kill you now. Which is the cool thing about why like some of these mythic names and stuff were also embellished by their crews themselves and the captains themselves was to give themselves notorious names. And that leads us to the Jolly Roger later on, which is helping with that embellishment and that sort of like ease of piracy. Because then certain pirate flags had notoriety. Now, again, this is based on some faulty data that I've read about. And a lot of it comes from this Pirates General History book. So how much of that is true or not is hard to say. But like the not at actually attacking merchant vessels is something that I've read and seems to be generally agreed upon, which I found fascinating. They really only came to blows when they were being hunted down by official like military from certain governments.
Pirate hunters and the like.
Typically the British, right?
Yeah,
exactly. British, Spanish, whoever was coming after whichever group at the time. But yeah, that's usually when it happened. Otherwise, they would just roll into a bay or a lockup and just take everything they want on reputation alone. It's pretty cool.
And I mean, I guess that's the benefit of having an unreliable narrator, right? Like they can, you know, you can build these stories and we know how word of mouth warps, you know, the general mythos of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Lexi and I can both say, you know, like certain things happen and suddenly it gets blown way out of proportion from what actually happened.
Are you trying to suggest that high school kids make up lies?
Constantly, in fact.
No, I don't believe it. High schoolers would never lie.
I think they're experiencing a different reality than we are.
Yes. Yeah.
I just saw that clip video. Who was it? Which of you posted it? Where the teacher is like,
I think it was Kyle.
Watching the student do the bad thing. The student is watching the teacher watch them do the bad thing. And then after the teacher's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I have experienced that word for word. Like, I saw you do the thing. Like, I didn't do the thing.
There was a kid once who was literally choking on vape and was like, I'm not vaping. I'm like, you were, because the smoke's coming out of your mouth right now. No, it's not. I'm like, it's in your hand. This isn't a vape.
Can you just like take a video at that point and then show them afterward?
They still will be like,
you
get in
trouble
me?
For illegally.
Someone has shaggied these kids up because constantly.
Thought I caught you in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
I mean, my 4-year-old does this, so it's good to know that there isn't a whole lot of development between 4 and 18.
No. Yep, this is just life now,
just
Ben.
Just more cuss words.
Yeah.
And more vapes.
More cuss words. My kid is pretty good at cussing already.
My 2-year-old dropped Christ today, and I was proud.
No.
That's not really a That's cuss word, but it did come out of nowhere.
It is Easter.
He's just like, Christ.
Yeah. He was just getting ready.
That must have been what he's referencing. As you know, we are a very religious household.
I know.
I sit down with my kids every Easter, and we talk about the resurrection story. On the third day, the tomb rolled away, and inside they found chocolate, bunnies, and eggs.
I thought you were going to sing, on the third day of Easter.
I haven't made an Easter song
yet. My Savior gave to me 2 chocolate eggs.
And a couple holes in my hands.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's stigmata, folks.
So anyways.
Pirates.
Pirate mythos.
No, let's connect this. Was Jesus a pirate?
You know what, though? Like, okay, so I'm not going with Jesus, but did you ever hear the story about Caesar and his encounter with pirates?
Yes, that's a good story.
I don't know this story. Yeah. I would love to hear the story.
It wasn't Julius Caesar. It was Octavius.
No, it was Caesar salad.
No, Ben.
No, it was Julius Caesar.
I am almost willing to guarantee.
I thought it was Octavius who came because Julius.
What about August? August and Augustus? Julius. Did you guys know that those are why we have July and August?
Yes.
Thanks, Ben.
No problem. Did you know that Thor is why we have Thursday?
Thursday?
Yeah. Did you know that Sunday is named after the sun?
Oh, you were right. Yeah. Julius Caesar. There it is. Yeah.
So Julius Caesar, so he refused to behave like he wasn't being held captive. And he actually tried to, you know, like convince them that he wasn't he essentially pulled a, do you know who I am?
Did that work?
They were like, no.
No, they didn't. Cause he ended up like making himself at home with the pirates. And
what group, where were these pirates from? They weren't Roman then?
No, it was just in the Aegean Sea.
Were they Phoenician?
It was a band of Cilician pirates.
Yeah, psilocybin.
I don't know what that means.
It's a type of drug from mushrooms. Psychosis.
Yeah. Are we reading the same article right now?
They probably
possibly
are.
Britannica.com.
Yeah, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, there
we
go.
I find that when we go to the internet looking for a specific thing, we often come back with the same result because it is the first on the list.
Yeah.
There's only so far I'm willing to scroll down to find out an interesting tidbit.
Of course. If you go more than the first page, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
You know? But he actually like joined in with the pirates like games and stuff, and he talked to them like he was their leader and they were his subordinates.
And did that work out for him?
Actually, so he would threaten to have them all crucified, but they took it as a joke from him.
Oh, Caesar.
In 38 days... he actually, you know, they provided the ransom and he was set free, and he managed to build a naval force and pursue the pirates, captured them and crucified them.
Just like he promised.
Oh, that's not very nice. They seemed like they were pretty nice hosts for those 38 days.
I mean, I think he kind of forced his way.
It reminds me of like the Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride. Like,
oh yeah,
have a good night, Wesley, might kill you in the morning, like every single day, just like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and eventually he just took over.
Yeah,
that's how pirates work.
Yep.
Actually, surprisingly, a lot of pirates end up taking over through attrition on crews or bloody mutiny.
Yeah, or I mean they did actually like vote for their captains though.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from Black Sails.
I tried watching that show. There was just something about it.
Oh my
God,
we're going to get into it. Let's hold it. Let's hold that one, Kyle. Let's hold it. Because Black Sails might be the best show that's ever been made.
Ooh,
and I would urge you to give it another go if you haven't yet.
Is there a better place to start? Like the first little bit just like doesn't.
What is it about it that doesn't grab you? Is it the sexiness of it all? Is it too much? It's a little bit too titillating?
I think just like the violence like from the get-go is almost a little off-putting. Like I want to try and like build a bit more story before you start like
murdering
and pillaging.
I don't know where you would choose to go next. I think it would be better to just start and push through until you find out that you love it. Or you end up crucifying them all.
Oh, I'm convinced. Oh.
It has one of the most fantastic character arcs for Captain Flint. It does this wonderful thing where it marries sort of parts of Treasure Island with real life pirating history, which is wonderful. They do it in such a fantastic way. And you get one of the most complex and genuinely dislikable villains in the history of, like, cinema. And the great thing is that they get to be a woman villain. Like, they are a robust, three-dimensional woman that gets to be a villain. And that's so rare in media. Like, just a really, like, complex, though. They have this driving force to them that is just self-preservation in the most interesting way that just is so wonderful to watch overall. But I don't know. I don't know where to tell you to start. It just gets better and better the longer you watch it.
Okay. I will look back into that after I finish Shogun.
Okay. Deal. We'll come back and check with you next year.
That's another pirate movie Shogun? Or TV show.
So good.
Shogun. Yeah, because he shows up. Blackthorne is washed ashore as a privateer. He is a merchant. He's the captain of a boat. And that's what brings him there. And they think he's a pirate. And that's why they are, like, going to murder him, because the Portuguese think that he's a bad dude. Anyway,
I dig. And that's why the tagline is, it's an almost pirate story. That's
exactly what it is.
I mean, he was set out to mess with the Portuguese.
He was.
Boy.
But then he got wrapped up in Japanese politics.
Yes, he did. Anyway. I digress.
All right, here we go. It's time for our mid-show break. So let's rock and roll here. Da-na-na-na-na. Who's that Pokemon? And I want you to know that this is a real Pokemon today, folks.
Okay.
A very real Pokemon. All right. One of the realest Pokemon I've ever seen. So the silhouette, can you see?
That makes me think it isn't a Pokemon when you say something like that.
No, it absolutely is. I wouldn't lie.
Is this like a bit where you just describe the silhouette to us?
Yeah, and then we have to guess what it is.
Have you never listened to our show, Kyle? We do a mid-show break where we play Who's That Pokemon. It can either be a real Pokemon, very rarely, or...
Very rarely. Often it's an object in a room.
Yeah, often it's an object in the room. It is often related to whatever topic we're talking about at the time.
Yes.
And sometimes Lexi will just say the thing that she would have liked to have guessed, and I'll say, yes, that was the Pokemon for the day.
Because we're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah. We gotta keep moving. This is going long.
It's Bulbasaur, you're right. Bulbasaur and a hat.
Not this time. Ah, all right, here's the silhouette. Okay. It comes down from a peak, then goes back up to two other peaks, then down, and then out to two sort of side-pointing peaks, and then back into sort of a half-rounded circle, which then goes down to some little roundy nubs with some little half-circle-y things on the bottom, and then sort of a jagged thing off the back part of it.
Scyther.
It's not Scyther, but good guess. You knew a Pokemon, and I'm impressed.
If you give me the original 150, I can probably go that way. But
I will give you a hint that this is part of the original 150.
Tentacruel?
It's not Tentacruel, but that would have been a very piratey choice.
Thank you. I thought it was
Tentacruel might be the most piratey of all the Pokemon.
It has a little hat. Like, he's got a pirate hat shape to him.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
He does. I don't know. Do it again, please.
Do it again? Okay, all right, here we go. This is the silhouette. It starts at the top at a point which kind of goes down in a sort of semi-triangle and then up to two more points and then down into more
like a Christmas
triangles tree. And then out into side triangles, almost like a half starburst.
Starmie. Sort of,
it's not, but good choice. And then it kind of rounds out this way.
Executor.
It's not Executor. You guys, you're doing some great guessing. I'm very proud of both of you.
Thank you.
Participation trophy, please.
That's all gotta we get on this show. Yeah.
God. All right.
When you're ready, I put the answer in chat for you.
I gotta see what the shit is.
The Pokemon is?
Oh, come on now!
Pirate Pikachu! Da na 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 na.
Look at his adorable little guns. Like his so adorable little muskets. Okay,
but I do need to draw attention to two things. The first is that the skull on his belt apparently is a Pikachu skull. He's murdered a smaller Pikachu, but also his ears should not be part of that skull form.
Maybe they are. Maybe we thought this whole time that they were like flaccid and they're not.
So we've just learned something new about Pikachu. Yeah, they're not
maybe
flaccid.
Maybe he's got bone ears.
Those are some permanent erect ears.
Maybe that's how he transmits the electricity is it goes through the bones.
Oh, whoa, yeah. Right?
It's like a Tesla coil ears.
Yeah. That's happening. I was going to guess like some like Bulbasaur in a hat.
Bulbasaur in a pirate hat.
I mean, that's what you did say that. So I was like, you're so close. Bulbasaur. You did say Bulbasaur in a hat. And you were so close.
Okay. I know. Damn it.
Da-na-na-na-na. It's Pirate Pikachu. We'll put that in the show notes.
No, Pirate Pikachu. So cute.
Such a swashbuckler.
All right, let's get into the real...
The nitty-gritty.
Shanks of this episode. The deep... The meat.
There's a lot to There's get a lot. Through.
Let's talk about our favorite pirate shows, media, etc. Let's just shotgun this. Not shotgun's not the right thing. Rapid fire.
Now, I'm going to make a suggestion that we've already talked about Black Sails.
You know what? Yes, we've talked about Black Sails enough. It's a fantastic show. I cannot recommend it enough. It also brings a Bear McCreary soundtrack, which is just fantastic. And aside from, like, I'd say Game of Thrones is one of the first sort of like prestige TV shows to use that, like, really sort of tableau-ish, like, yes, opening credits sort of thing that everybody does now, like, where it's like a little, like, miniature diorama and we're walking through it with a camera, and now every show does something like that.
That is true.
Black Sails. I cannot explain how much I love this show. Like, it started me back down a trail of learning.
We're not talking about it anymore.
I just want
Let's
people
go.
To know how good it
we still
is.
Need to talk to.
The reason that I'm still into pirates and, like, so into pirates again was because of Black Sails. It sent me learning about so much pirate history and, like, how much of it was real and fake and connected to Treasure Island. I just, like, I can't recommend it enough. It's fantastic.
On that same note of getting you back into pirates, Assassin's Creed Black Flag was the re-entry point for me. Just the storytelling of the game itself. I mean, not the Assassin's Creed part of things, but, like, the pirate simulator part of things. And
as an aside here, the Assassin's, like, Creed, like, the actual, like, sort of, like, futuristic Assassin-y Creed part of Assassin's Creed is literally my least favorite part of almost every one of those games that I played. It's weird, isn't
it? We were talking about this on on the Good Enough podcast the other week, how Assassin's Creed just needs to stop. Like, they've lost the plot. It's now just like history assassin simulator instead of anything to do with their story to begin with.
Do the history stuff.
Yeah, it's weird, and that stuff is like my least favorite part. And every time the game stops so that I have to go to some sort of futuristic BS and jump around glitches in the game, it is so irritating and takes me out of what is otherwise a wonderful game.
I think Assassin's Creed Black Flag actually sort of reinforced my love for sea shanties. And I...
Yes, absolutely.
The weird looks I get from my wife when I'm cooking in the kitchen and I throw sea shanties on to when I'm cooking, and there's just something so... Like, I don't...
Yeah, you want to be on a ship. You want to be a galley cook. You want to be out there.
Yeah, I'm cooking in... Exactly. I'm cooking in the galley for a crew, and I can hear them singing shanties. And it's just...
Absolutely. Why do we not live where we could have our own pirate boats?
Goddamn prairies. There's an artist, so like a singer named David Coffin, who does this very amazing rendition of, like, Roll the Old Chariot Along. And it just, like, it haunts me. It lives in my head. And I can't.
It's the first song that comes up if you search for him on Apple Music.
Oh, we'd be all right if the wind was in our sails.
Coffin, Roll the Old Chariot Along, and it just the harmonies and the soul, it makes you feel like you're on a pirate ship.
That's the feeling that I want. What?
Yes.
Why is that the feeling we want? What is this? Is this our Roman Empire, Kyle?
Yes.
Pirate
ships are our Roman Empire.
I think about pirates every fucking day.
I think about knitting a lot.
Yeah, no, that's your Roman Empire.
Yep, yep.
It's not as exciting as ours, but...
As a side note, you talked about, like, the golden age of piracy. I think we're kind of in the second coming of a golden age of piracy, but because of streaming services.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, this is a different route here, but
that's you're going the dad joke route.
Yeah.
It makes sense though,
because the words are the same thing, but they mean slightly different.
Absolutely, we're no longer with bravado and gusto and stories of our of our conquering to intimidate shifts to give us their goods. We are now just taking shows that we want to watch without having to pay $25 a month for streaming.
Giant mega corporations that have
capitalist hellscape
taken the streaming model that we all use to escape from cable television and now have somehow made it worse.
Yeah, this is why we want to be pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in a capitalist hellscape.
Yes. That's yeah.
Sorry. This just went like way off course, but the winds changed direction. I just.
No, I think that's relevant to the topic at hand. Lex, what's one of your toppy media bits?
That's the Dork Matters way. Yeah.
What anchored you into pirates?
What raises your sails?
Well, aside from like the
Earth. A little suggestive.
I wanted to talk about the Pirates, the Claymation movie. Have you seen it?
Oh, was that the same people that did Wallace and Gromit?
It's the Wallace and Gromit guy, yes. Right? Yeah, it is.
Oh, so good.
So Arden Animation did it. It has like Hugh Grant, David Tennant, Martin Freeman. It's so good. And I love it because it's got a little bit of science in there because it's about pretending to be scientists and they're trying to bring the last dodo to the big science competition because... Hugh Grant's character lost the Pirate of the Year award. And it's so freaking cute and funny. And I loved it. And that kind of got me back into the whole realm of pirates. And so I just wanted to throw out there, like, it's an adorable movie. I love it. Every so often I'll throw it on the background because it is cute AF.
I totally forgot about that.
I mean, I'll take anything pirates. Right now, my go-to pirate media is One Piece. It is.
Yes, all 19 million episodes of them. That's amazing.
Yeah. How are you doing on getting through those so we can do our One Piece episode, Lex?
I'm currently on episode 100 and I'm very proud.
Are you actually?
I actually am.
That I got to be honest with you. That's about 98 more episodes than I expected you to do.
Thank you, Benjamin. I'm trying.
So you're telling me it hasn't quite sunk its claws into
you. I have it on in the background. It's just kind of playing all the time.
That's how I did Naruto. Mm. I don't know if it's really going to click for you if you do it that way. Have you gotten to Skypiea yet?
I've been watching, like, having the cartoon, the anime, like, on in the background. But then I've actually been sitting and watching, like, paying attention to the live action One Piece. And then I'm like, ooh, I remember that. Right. So I'm trying to, like, I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying.
It's, like, the One Piece live action is great. It's a nice distillation, I guess, of the... of the anime if you don't want to watch all.
Well, I like that they cram like 4 episodes into one episode. I'm like, I got this.
Oh, it's more than 4. I know. They're cramming really, like 40 into one good, episode.
But I enjoy it.
One Piece captures this idea of like freedom and sort of anti-establishment that, you know, Kyle was just talking about with our capitalist hellscape and our sort of, you know, media controlling governments and like, you know, that sort of thing. One Piece is... Their pirates in this are less about, you know, ravaging and stealing and more about freedom and escaping sort of a tyrannical government. Mm-hmm. It's a great series. I'm not going to convince anyone to watch it right now because we're, you know, geriatric millennials and it's going to be a hard sell for some of y'all. Even though it's been around.
There's only so much time.
We have been, man, I don't know how I did it. I did it after I had 2 kids and have somehow gone through 1,060 episodes or whatever.
Holy
I think that's they're short episodes, and so like kids these days like short bursts. They're not even half, they're like 20 minutes. Some
they
of
are
them.
They're only about half an hour. Yeah.
Yes.
No, because you skip past the intro song and then you skip past the last time on One Piece and then suddenly you got about maybe an 18 minute episode left.
And I feel like that's the perfect amount of time for youth these days. Like they don't have a long attention span, so 18 minutes might be the sweet spot.
So if I'm going for a run, I can hit like, you know, 20 episodes in a 5K or something. Yeah. It's not bad.
Like I said, on in the background.
I feel like it might be like a YouTube recap kind of thing for me.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But
you'll be hooked.
Maybe you will be. Maybe after you start One Piece, you will be. The music is great too. And once you find the character of Brooke later on, who is the minstrel or whatever you want to call it, the musician for the One Piece
the
ship.
Bard.
Yeah, the bard. He sings this one song that becomes sort of a recurring theme throughout the rest of the show, and it will stick in your head forever.
Yo-ho, 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 yo-ho.
let's keep going. One Piece, fantastic pirate media. I'm going to keep rolling us down this list because otherwise we might take too long. Treasure Planet.
Oh,
Treasure. Does anybody love Treasure Planet? One of the most...
That was flop, wasn't it?
It was.
It was a commercial flop, yeah. And it is a cult classic at this point, I believe. It's like a bona fide cult classic. Has risen in esteem the longer it's been out. It's just one of those movies that didn't hit when it came out, but it is fantastic. Well-made, beautiful retelling of the Treasure Island story.
That's one I might have to go back and actually like take a look at.
And you get the John Resnick song from the Goo Goo Dolls, the I'm Still Here, which is like one of the songs. I go back to that song basically weekly and throw it on. It's so good.
Is that from Titan AE?
Titan AE is not the John Resnick song, no. It's from Treasure Planet.
Oh,
Titan
okay.
AE is a cool show too, and probably teetering on pirate as well. Yeah,
that's another good one.
I think it was a little piratey in like feeling, but not necessarily like a true pirate film.
Yeah, it was more.
But anyway,
let's get off Titan AE. We'll get back to that someday. Our Flag Means Death, the latest and greatest, and unfortunately canceled after three seasons.
It was, yeah, and you know what?
No, really?
They got rid of one of my most favorite characters on the show. So part of me was like, see you around. You got rid of my man Mobeen. Yeah. Have you ever seen him before?
No, I hadn't before Our Flag Means Death.
Oh,
but honestly, I think the show after season two probably could have been done. I felt three came back a little weaker than the other ones. I know they had to come back, but it had like a weird sort of sweet, sad ending at the end of season two. It was a brilliant surprise.
They needed more Guz Khan.
It's a great thing.
If Guz was in there, he would have saved
him. Yeah, maybe.
I told John that that it was being mentioned, and he was like, that wasn't necessary. It was more romantic comedy than it was pirate TV show.
I mean, it was still very much a pirate TV show.
It was, but he was like, it was just about the story. It was like the love story and the friendships between people. And he's like, it was pirate secondary to everything else.
Absolutely. The pirate is the dressing on that, but they're also on boats doing raids, and it's a bunch of historical figures worked into it. So I think it's...
That was the wild
like Steve
thing.
Bonnet's a real pirate.
Yeah, we were shocked to learn that Bonnet was an actual, like, fancy man pirate.
Yeah, he was a dandy.
He was
a dandy pirate. Yeah, for realsies.
Would that be, like, our equivalent of having like a midlife crisis where he's like, I'm going to be a pirate. And you're like, no, you're not. You're a count or whatever.
It must be because that's how they played it on the show. And I choose to believe that was the truth.
Well, that's like us going into, you know, COVID shutdown and then everyone, like a large portion of
making
the population,
sourdough
and realizing they're bisexual. Like,
Kyle, is this your coming out episode?
Had a lot of introspection time.
Everybody found out during the pandemic we're all a bit gay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
A bit gay.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I think I finally admitted that I would sleep with Link from The Legend of Zelda.
Mm.
Gay for anime.
Oh, man.
This took a weird turn.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
He's fine or it's fine?
Both. Why not? Yeah, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of, folks. Link is a sexy character.
I mean, I feel like we're dancing around the big one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We should probably just get to it. Treasure Island. Louis. I was going to say Louis Anderson.
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Anderson Armstrong.
Blah, 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 blah.
Treasure Island. Why can't I? Now I've lost his name completely, Kyle. Famed literary figure.
Robert Louis Stevenson.
Anthony Anderson. Anthony B. Anderson. Treasure Island. Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it's Robert Louis Stevenson. Yeah.
This, along with it's called On Stranger Tides. It's basically what the movie Pirates of the Caribbean On Stranger Tides was. Was lifted from in part. The other large part of what Pirates takes from is a big vicious circle that I love. But his name is like Tom Power or something like that. That's not the actual name.
Tim Powers.
That's it.
Tim Powers.
Yeah, on Stranger Tide. So on Stranger Tide and obviously influenced by Treasure Island. But those two books seem to make a inspirational sort of platform for basically every other piece of pirate media that comes after.
Oh, I see that the story was also the inspiration for One Monkey Island.
So this is where, this is the meat. This is where we're getting into the meat. So we start with the ride, Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know if it's at Disneyland or Disney World because I could never afford to go as a kid. We get Pirates of the Caribbean, which inspires along with Treasure Island, Ron Gilbert's Monkey Island. The entire series takes from that. And then we get into this wonderful thing where there's a person who worked on developing Monkey Island into a movie series that gets scrapped, then goes on, I'm blanking on his name, but he goes on to work on Pirates of the Caribbean and very clearly lifts the story that he had, like the treatments he'd written for two Monkey Island films, and places them into Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's awesome.
And that's why you get a lot of analogs to the original, like, couple of Monkey Island games. There's some very similar analogs with the ghosts and, you know, trying to find the secret and all that, the ghost monkeys, the ghost pirates. Like, basically, mm-hmm. Barbarossa is basically LeChuck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you get, like, a wonky pirate. Like, you know, Johnny Depp's whatever, Jack Sparrow, is not quite Guybrush Threepwood, but there are some similarities in sort of the oafishness there.
Mm-hmm. I would almost say that, like, Will Turner is more Guybrush.
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, like, directly an analog for the look.
Yeah.
So yeah, he basically, I'll figure out what that guy's name was and drop it into the notes, but he basically took his treatments and went on to work on Pirates of the Caribbean.
I had no idea.
So it's this big, wonderful chain of, like, Pirates Ride inspires Monkey Island, which inspires Pirates of the Caribbean. I would love a Monkey Island, like, movie series. I think it could be wonderful if they did it.
That'd be great.
I think it could be different enough from Pirates of the Caribbean if they just sort of leaned into how silly it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Would you want it live action or would you want it animated?
Either would be good, but I think live action could work for it. I mean, they've got all that pirate shit lying around now. All those boats and stuff. Just reuse them.
It's very funny that you brought up Monkey Island, because we actually just talked about the soundtrack of it.
It's so good.
It's so good. And I think that's one of the main things that not only makes Monkey Island what it is, but makes Pirates of the Caribbean what it is. Like, Hans Zimmer and his soundtracks are, like, his
musicals. You can hear it right now. All you have to say was Pirates of the Caribbean, and everybody hears it.
And that makes me want to swashbuckle.
It makes me want to run like Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
Just floppy arms in the air, knees high.
It's so iconic, and the score of that movie, like that whole movie series, is really what makes it, like, is what makes Jack Sparrow Jack Sparrow. Because if he's just running without that sort of epic music behind him, I don't think it makes it the same.
Oh God, we have to do an edit, don't we? Jack Sparrow running without music. It's gonna be awful. We have to do that now.
Yeah, there you go. Running weird in silence.
It's going to become a TikTok sensation.
There was a TikTok sensation of running like Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, I remember that part. But they always had the music, and it's like what sells it. Yes. Otherwise, it's not Jack Sparrow. You're just running like an idiot.
Exactly. The music makes the whole thing.
Nobody actually aces the Jack Sparrow run. Nobody does. Everyone just does it in their own wonky way. It's like the chicken thing from Arrested Development.
I forgot about that.
Everyone does the chicken.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah, that's a good one.
Cuckoo, ka-cha. Cuckoo, ka-cha.
What are you doing?
Michael and women. A cuckoo, ka-cha. That's what I was just telling you. Cuckoo, ka-cha.
Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken?
It's one of the few jokes that actually holds up from Arrested Development. That show did not age well. But yeah, like, you need the music. It's so wonderful. It's such a soaring score.
But I mean, even the Monkey Island soundtrack now, like, it's in my head. Mm-hmm. It's just like, even just that, like that calm, like, calypso vibes of it.
It's the song that plays when Fiona calls me on my phone.
Nice.
It's the Monkey Island. Because we met on a online dating service that predated app dating. And the reason we got together was because she asked a question about Monkey Island and said, if you know the answer to this, at least we'll have something to talk about. And I was like, I fucking know the answer to this.
My dream
And then
spouse.
You disarmed her sword after your response.
Well, we did some, what do they call it? The dueling, the insult dueling.
Yeah.
Your mother was a cow.
I remember being like, I remember playing that game and being stuck on that part for so fucking long.
Oh my God.
Until I could figure out
the
actual correct responses.
Yeah, how to insult correctly. It was the bridge on the first game with the monkey that you have to like pass his quiz to get past him, and I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I think for me, Holy Grail, highest mark above Black Sails is fantastic to me, but it will never take the place of Monkey Island, which was so formative for me so early on. I played that first game while I was in a computer camp coding in like when I was like 9 doing C++. And
dork.
Yeah. God, I didn't.
Same as show.
It's either that or Jazz Dance. And I tried Jazz Dance and it just wasn't for me. The hands.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the hands right. I love Monkey Island. When Return to Monkey Island came out and like I hadn't heard anything about it, it just dropped and I was suddenly like, what? I've been dreaming about this, a new Monkey Island game for so long. They're fantastic. That whole series is just the best. Pirates of the Caribbean is fantastic. Yeah. I don't even need it to be good and it's amazing.
I mean, it started to go downhill near the end, but like...
Of the first movie, really, if we're being honest.
The first one was...
Oh, magnificent.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a great series, but you give me pirates, you give me wonderful music, you give me voodoo, hoodoo, you know?
You do.
You do.
The man, sorry, we're getting into Labyrinth now. Not a pirate movie, but Bowie does look like a pirate in that. Yeah. Do we have any other pirates we want to talk about, folks? Do we cover it all?
I think I hit the ones that were formative for me, I guess.
That's totally fair. I think we've been all over the deck on this pirate episode so far. We've been a stern and port and bow and... The other one, we've been
starboard
up the mast and into the crow's nest.
That was a little suggestive.
Down below deck and into the hammocks of the crew and the galley. We've weighed anchor on a few topics. Is this too much?
That's a lot.
I'll just keep going. We scrape barnacles from the bottom of our memory.
We keel-hauled our brains for...
Yeah. Oh God, that is one of the
awful, worst. Right?
The worst scenes in Black Sails is the key hauling part.
Do you know why pirates actually? I mean, you probably know, but like why they wore eye patches?
Yes, because they were missing eyes.
No,
no, I'm joking. No, I'm joking.
No, because they were looking at this. It was like their foreshortening.
Yes, it's because if you open and close your eye real quick, you can't focus properly when you're trying to look through a telescope.
And also for going above and below deck because below deck wasn't lit.
Yeah, the change of lighting. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like when you come out dark. Inside from being outside when it's a really snowy, bright day and you can't see for like half an hour after. So they do eye flips, so they'd actually switch the patch depending on if they're above or under.
I know that. That's cool.
Some of them did lose eyes, though. Yes, I just want to be clear.
I mean, it was a pirate's life and for
less,
them. So.
Less than you'd want. Does anybody want to give their favorite pirate ever on the way out
there's
here?
There's so many cool ones, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of cool ones. I'm going to say Guybrush Threepwood. He's a mighty pirate.
Guybrush is really cool. I like the story of Anne Bonny.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Reed.
Just the fact that she was an actual whole ass pirate who, you know, decided she married a privateer and then goes on and has this whole other relationship with Mary Reed and
Calico Jack, John Rackham, their whole triad that they sort of put together.
The OG thruple.
In the Black Sails show. Yeah, exactly. And Calico Jack is also known either truthfully or more embellished as the person who first did the Jolly Roger, put some colors onto the black flag and ran it up. So he's credited with sort of the skull and crossbones motif for that. And then you get like Zheng Yizhao, who is the pirate empress.
Yeah, she's pretty badass.
Yes.
I mean, she took over basically half the world with her pirate empire. Like, she's we get a fictitious version of her in one of the Pirates movies. I forget.
Oh, yeah.
And then Flint from Black Sails has one of the coolest character arcs I've ever seen in a media. You just don't know why he's so mad and violent for the entire first season. And when it drops, why? It just an explosion. Spoilies. Of like, oh, my God, of course.
That's all you're gonna say.
No, that's it. That's all I'll say. You're going to find out when somebody's mad. It's not just because he's ginger, folks.
So I have a couple pirate jokes for you.
Oh, please.
What's a pirate's favorite pattern?
Argyle.
There you go.
Oh, shoot.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
It's not R. It be the C.
It be the C.
I think my four-year-old just read that to me off a placemat the other day.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I like that one.
The other day I was, at the mall and I saw this guy dressed up as a pirate, but he had like a whole steering, like a ship steering wheel attached to his waist. I was like, man, what are you doing? Are you okay? And he looks at me and goes, yar, it'd be driving me nuts.
Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's good. That's very good. Yeah. Lex, did you come with your pirate jokes? I asked everybody to prepare three.
I did like the SNL sketch of the pirate meeting, and they're like, we're going to be going to the Harvard Yard in our cars. So that is always what I think of when people make pirate jokes, is just that skit from SNL.
I welcome ye to the 4th Annual National Pirates Convention. I be your moderator, Redbeard Pete. We'd first like to thank the good people of the Milwaukee Holiday Inn for the accommodations. Not our first choice, but there be no vacancy at our favorite hotel, the Ritz-Carlton.
Does anybody still observe Talk Like a Pirate Day? Or was that just a nascent Facebook thing?
That was an early 2000s thing. That was a 2009 extravaganza.
But that filter on Facebook was just wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think the people that still observe that day are the ones that had, like, the mustaches tattooed on their fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We
know
them. We know them.
Can you believe that was a trend?
I mean, I'd still do it, honestly. I think it's funny. Put it over my real mustache. Let's bring it back.
Just ironic. Yeah. Let's do it. All right, Ben. Tattoo date.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's have a tattoo hang.
You guys should do it.
No, Lexi, not you guys. All of us.
I'm not getting a tattoo.
You need to get your second tat. You don't have one yet. You've only got your first. It's time for number two. And it
is a mustache. I forgot about that.
Thinking about that.
You could tattoo a mustache on your face if you want, if you're not comfortable with the finger thing.
Ah, the old job killer. Yeah. That's a commitment.
Okay, but like your bosses can't be any older than like Gen X at this point, right?
Yeah, actually my boss is like a couple years older than me, yeah, like by so like, 2 years. If I showed up with a face tattoo, I'm sure he'd be like, got makeup to cover that shit up.
The person who cuts my mullet has a face tattoo.
I think he was laugh his ass off.
I think
off.
He would too.
All right, let's do it then. Well, I'll get a Chakotay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, fun fact, I feel like I showed you this before, but I actually have like a pirate tattoo.
As long as you can describe it while you're showing it to us, I'd love to see it.
Okay. Well, I have like, I swear to God, I showed you this when you were on our show.
Yeah. Well, no, you showed me before because I've seen it. Okay. Yeah.
But so I've got like a whole.
Oh, it's a pretty big piece. Yeah. Way to go.
So I've got for all the listeners.
There's the skull.
I can see the skull.
I have a skull moon.
And I can see somebody sitting. Davy Jones.
I have just a zombie pirate with his peg leg on a chest. I've got a nice little ghost ship in there.
Oh, this is just an excuse to flex your guns there.
And
which way to the pirate ship? Ooh.
It be over yonder.
Being that I love shitty puns, I got a kraken on my bicep. So I can say release the kraken.
Oh, yes. Perfect. I once wanted to get finger tattoos that said hard work. And it was just a masturbation.
Not hold fast?
No, hold fast is what I have. Oh. That's what I went with, which was inspired by Master and Commander, Far Side of the World.
Yes.
I wanted to make a masturbation joke, so it was going to be hard work, because right would be hard and left would be work. Because it's a lot more difficult if you're using your left, right? What, we're not the kind of show that can make a masturbation joke?
We're a show that can make any kind of joke, Ben. There you go.
We started with a masturbation joke. How can,
full circle.
Jerking off a cow. Yeah.
Utterly amazing.
More of an up and down, really. Is that where we end this?
Utterly.
What if there was a show about cow pirates? Food for thought. Let's go out on that clunk. That really shitty thing I just said. It's not even worth the sad trombone. That wasn't even a joke.
Just the Price is Right losing
just
music.
Yeah, the said, over, yeah, that was stupid. Yeah. What's your favorite Price is Right game? No, forget it. We're not doing that. This is the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening. Please write us at everyone@dorkmatterspodcast.com. Let us know who your favorite pirate is.
Please.
We'll be making a collage of those at some point.
I love collages.
Sewing them into a tapestry.
Yar.
We'd like to thank Kyle DeBolt for the Good Enough Gaming Podcast for being here.
Thanks, Kyle.
Kyle, where can people find you on the internet? The modern high C.
You can find me and my merry band of dipshits over on the Good Enough Gaming Podcast. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube if you want to see our ugly mugs. We talk all things gaming, nerdy shit, which is why we get along so well with Dork Matters. Thanks again for having me. I had a very swashbuckling time.
Until next time, yo ho, yo ho ho ho.
Yar, yar.
And a bottle of rum.
Okay, official tally of dad jokes for this episode. This is purely based on my own judgment. I judge / producer Jess, and there will be no contestation of this ruling. In first place, Kyle with 15 dad jokes. In second place, Ben with 10 dad jokes. And in third place, but actually in first place, because no one even heard the one dad joke that she said, if you go back in the episode, you'll hear her say,
"You'll be hooked."
And nobody even acknowledged the fact that that is in itself a pirate joke. So actual winner, in spite of only having one dad joke, is Lexi. And again, there will be no questioning of this ruling. This is binding and final. Dork, 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 dork.
Thanks for listening to Dork Matters. If you like the podcast, subscribe, give us a rating, and tell your friends about us.
If you are a fellow dork and have a dork issue that you think we need to discuss, tell us on our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can also check out original art and other content from Ben and myself.
We'd like to say a big thank you to Yabra for the use of our theme song, Dance, off of their Astral EP, as well as a thank you to Jess Schmidt for producing and editing our podcast. Thanks, Jess.
Dork Matters.
This podcast is created on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Nations, which includes the Siksika, the Bagaini, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge the Stoney Nakoda Nation, Sutena, and Métis Nation, Region 3.